The reading is from Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 10 through to 23. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more is credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied, now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please do keep that open. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come with thankful hearts for the forgiveness of sins, but also how we see you at work amongst us. Father, we pray that you would teach us from your word this morning. That we would rightly rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Alistair, thank you very much indeed. You've no idea the joy it is to have a treasurer like Alistair, who not only presents accounts within an hour of the closing of the financial year, but also... literally, but also is able to present to us in such a way the finances that are part of what it means to be church together. Philippians chapter 4, Paul starts by saying, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord. Some things bring us joy. This week has been, for me, preparing this and... having Alistair explain clearly to me the finances, it's been a joy to think about coming to this service this week because of what is evidenced among us, as we will see. I don't know what has brought you joy. I don't know if you, when you came to church this morning, you were thinking this is going to be a joyful experience. I don't know, if you have a look around. I don't mean of the building, I mean of the people. And is seeing one another here a cause for joy? Do the people fill you with joy? Well, that's what happens for Paul when he looks at the Philippians. And he says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord. So what he's talking about here, this joy that he's talking about, is a kind of deep and lasting thankfulness. I think it's kind of hard to express. Peter speaks of an inexpressible joy. But it's something that God is involved in somehow. It's a greatly rejoicing in the Lord. And I think it's where you see something that is properly right in the world under God. And it brings that joy that there is something that is properly right and healthy and pleasing to God. Something Paul, I think, is saying, something that will always be worth rejoicing over. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord. And as we go through this passage, we're going to discover reasons why we should be rejoicing greatly in the Lord. Why, actually, when we do look around, we should be rejoicing greatly with this deep, lasting thankfulness in the Lord. Now, you might think, if you hadn't read the passage, that the reason for this sort of joy would simply be that we all share the same faith. Well, that is a reason for joy. Paul celebrates that joy earlier in Philippians. A friendship, a fellowship, where one can find help and service from one another and give it. Maybe as you look around, it's a gathering of those who trust in Jesus. We're the people who know the forgiveness that he brings. We're the people he has filled with his Spirit to live for him. We're all looking forward to our inheritance in heaven. And as we look around, you're seeing people like yourself. If that's you, trusting Christ in joy and hope, you look around, you see people who are doing the same thing. That's what church is as we meet together. Paul talks about in chapter 3 of Philippians how he considers everything garbage compared to that, compared to knowing Christ and belonging to Christ. Paul has celebrated, as Alistair has mentioned, that Christ is preached, even amongst the prisoners and by the guard where Paul is in jail. He rejoices that the Philippians are praying. As we look around, you see people who are praying for you as we pray for the church family together. And Paul rejoices that the Lord is near to bring that peace which is beyond understanding. But it's none of those things in chapter 4 that Paul's rejoicing over. It's something else. All those things are a cause for Christian joy as we see one another. But in Philippians 4, it's something else. Verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. Paul has that deep, lasting thankfulness because the Philippians gave and they wanted to give. That's what he's referring to. When he talks about renewing their concern, they've sent him a gift. They've sent him some financial resources to help him at that point. Now, we've all just probably, most of us have just had some gifts, Christmas gifts. You might have had a birthday as well. And most of those are designed to make life just a bit easier, aren't they? Those sorts of gifts. Often they're things you don't need, but they're just nice. And so we enjoy having those gifts. They make life a bit easier. There's always the standard socks and deodorant that you get given. I never know when I'm given socks and deodorant by my mother every year, whether I'm supposed to spray my feet as well. I don't know if she's trying to make a point. But anyway, that's stuff you need designed to make life easier. But Paul's not rejoicing about that. He's not rejoicing that there he was and this present came from the Philippians, which he may or may not have needed, and it's just made his life easier. It's not that he just kind of feels good because somebody's given him something. Now, we can see that it's not that because of what he says next. I'm not saying this because I'm in need. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. So whether he's got lots of stuff or nothing, whether he's got food or not, he knows that Christ is everything that he needs. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Verse 13. So Paul's not rejoicing that he had some kind of need and they solved it. Paul's found contentment in Jesus, whatever the circumstances. It's not because they've tried to fix his problems that he rejoices. No, it's because they gave and wanted to give for the work of the gospel. Verse 14, yet even though, you know, I'm not in need, I'm fine, I'm content, it was good of you to share in my troubles. See, Paul's troubles are his labours for Christ. His troubles are his work for the gospel. And as he looks at the Philippians, he sees people who are giving so that that work can continue. He's not worried about his socks or his deodorant. He's worried about the work of the gospel. And as he looks at the Philippians, he sees people who have given for that. They've wanted to give to that work, even when they couldn't, that the good news of Jesus might progress. They've given to Paul on his missionary journeys, verses 15 and 16, and they've always done that right from the beginning. You Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, it's the gospel which is driving their giving. When I set out from Macedonia, this is the second missionary journey. Read about it in Acts. Not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. You gave when I was in need. But he's content in every circumstance, yes. So he does have needs, but he is working for the gospel, and the Philippians wanted to give for that work. It was good of you to share, to partner, to fellowship in my troubles. See, they're not just giving to him. They're partnering in the work of the gospel. See, Paul sees the heart of the Philippians when this gift arrives. I greatly rejoiced in the Lord that you've renewed your concern for me. You were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Seems to me, if you look at our finances, and if you look at that, you know, 30% increase over the last 2 years, I don't think we can deny it, that we're a group of people a bit like the Philippians. That we're a group of people who have given and have wanted to give. So whatever position you're in personally in your finances, able to give, no opportunity at the moment. That's what Paul talks about in verse 10. You renewed your concern, but even when you weren't able to, you wanted to, but you had no opportunity to show it. Some of us will be in that kind of position. But the thing that makes Paul rejoice is the heart of a Christian church which wants to give for the good news. We're all together in this. These are, they're our accounts. This is a church family thing. So I think as I've been preparing this week, and as you are here this morning, as you look around this morning, we are looking at people whose heart is for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That's what the statement shows. A people whose heart is for the good news of the Lord whom we love. The Lord who first loved us and gave everything for us, that his gospel would continue to grow and wouldn't falter for lack of resources. Alice has mentioned some of our partners, away giving. That is on the up. It is about the work here as well, but it's also about the work everywhere, that we want this gospel to grow everywhere. But it's also going to be about more work here. for the gospel. I had a delightful meeting with the Bishop of Lichfield on Friday morning, and there is now a real possibility. I nearly put probability there, but a real possibility of a second congregation taking shape. Taking shape locally in another parish or two with the bishop's blessing. We need to tread carefully. There's lots of things to be sorted out at a practical level. But that will be about growing the gospel. As if it's the Lord's will, Steve and a good number of you will move. And we'll have gospel growth elsewhere. We'll develop another partner in this work. And we can share in one another's troubles. Paul talks about giving and receiving in the gospel partnership. But it won't be free. I think that was Alistair was trying to say. It won't be free. And it will challenge us. How much are our hearts for the growth of this good news beyond our own borders? How much are our hearts for? Will we still want to give? And will we give? Because then there'll be a yet greater joy in the Lord that will be theirs and ours. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that you renewed your concern for me. Paul rejoices because he looks at a Christian church as we look at ourselves this morning, and he sees those who have given and who wanted to give even when they couldn't and still want to give for the work of the gospel. In verse 17, he talks about accounts. Not that I desire your gifts. We've seen that already. It's not for his just, you know, satisfaction. It's not that I desire. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. Well, what account is he talking about? Well, it seems to be an account with God. Now, many people will have both a current account and a savings account. Not everybody, but most people have. I was mulling this week why it's called a current account. I decided it's because of the speed with which money flows out of it. I think that must be why it's called a current account. And a savings account. Now, if I spend everything from the current account, my savings account does not go up. That's how it works. We have to put something in the savings account for the savings account to go up. But if I just spend my current account on everything else, the savings account gets nothing. But what Paul is saying is that he sees people's accounts with God going up. But that's because they're spending their current account on funding the gospel and supplying him and his needs so that the gospel can continue. So the great thing about the way this account works is that we can spend our current account and our account with God does go up, unlike our savings account, which just stays the same. It's not the world's best illustration, but it's better than nothing. Do you see why Paul is saying? He's saying, I'm not interested in the actual gift for me, but I know that people who have this heart for the work of the gospel are having an account credited with God all the time that they spend out of their current account for the sake of the gospel. Jesus talks about storing up treasures in heaven. And where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. And so Paul rejoices when giving shows that our hearts are for Jesus. And when Paul looks around at the Philippians, and when we look around at each other this morning, we can say our account with God is being credited. It is. Because we have given. We've seen the figures. We have given and we are giving. And so our credit, our account is being credited by God as we give. Rejoice greatly in the Lord. We give and want to give. Our account is being added to by God. But rejoice greatly in the Lord. Paul rejoices greatly in the Lord because the Philippians are pleasing to God. There's a thought. Did you walk into church this morning, have a quick look around and say, there are a people pleasing to God. That's what Paul says to the Philippians. It might never have crossed your mind. You might think it's impossible to please God. But Paul teaches us here otherwise. Verse 18, I've received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Now, we often think in terms of being right with God, don't we? The theological term is justification. We are justified. We are declared righteous. In God's eyes, we are as righteous as Christ is because we're clothed in his righteousness. Our sins are forgiven. If you want to check that out, go back to Romans 5. It's all there. Our standing with God is sure. We will never be condemned by faith in Jesus Christ and the righteousness that he has won for us. That was the work of Jesus on the cross. But that work, that being made right with God, established a new relationship between us and God. And a relationship needs expressing. A relationship is a dynamic thing. So with the absolute security of belonging to our Father in heaven forever, we can please or displease him within that genuine relationship of him as our Father. Think about that this week. You might be at school this week or at work or just at home. That the things you think, say, and do will either be pleasing to God or displeasing to him. It doesn't jeopardize your standing as a child of God forever who will inherit alongside the Lord Jesus. But everything we think, say, or do will be pleasing or not to our Father. Well, Paul is saying, yes, and we can please God or not with our money. What the Philippians did was offer a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice that was pleasing to God. And that's the opportunity that's before us. The opportunity to please God. To show that our hearts are for what he desires and his purpose in the gospel. What an opportunity that is. But before that, we have been pleasing God according to the figures that Alistair's given us. So we should have walked in this morning and said, here are a group of people pleasing God by the way we handle the finances. We take up an offering in our last hymn. I wondered whether I should call it this morning. We're going to receive an acceptable sacrifice in the last hymn. Something that is pleasing to God. Now, you don't have to put something in the bag. It's much easier for the treasurer to do it all electronically or stand in orders and all those sorts of things. But all of that together is something that makes us as a church family pleasing to God. But where are our hearts? Are our hearts where Paul knows the Philippians' hearts are? Well, I'd say yes. But at the individual level, you yourselves will know where your heart is in giving for the gospel. And if our hearts are as they should be, towards God and his work, then we can be confident, can't we, in what Paul says in verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. There is reason this morning for deep and lasting thankfulness, something that God is deeply involved in. He has created us, we're going to learn when we go through Ephesians in the next few weeks. He has made us into who we are, as his, not just as people existing, created human beings, but as his redeemed people. And as his redeemed people, there is something properly right about his people being generous for his work. That's worth rejoicing over when we see it. And I'm trying to tell you this morning that that's what we look like. This is one of these strange sermons that really has not much rebuke in it, just lots of encouragement. It's been a joy to prepare it. I've looked forward to it. This is something always worth rejoicing over. People who love the Lord Jesus and love his gospel to prosper. So what is there to do? Well, yes, we should think about our own hearts. Where do we as individuals sit in this? As a church, we're in good heart in this regard. But we should think about our own hearts too. How are you spending your current account? Do you need to grow in love for Jesus as a first step? And to understand that unmeasured grace that he has shown towards us? See, we're at the end of the letter to the Philippians. There's been so much about God's kindness to us in the Lord Jesus through the letter. So maybe it's your own love for Jesus himself which needs nurturing. You need to remind yourself of all that he's done for you. Get back into that home group. Get back into reading the Gospels. Focus on that first, and then we can think about where our heart is in terms of giving. That's something to do. But the other thing to do, and this is the main thing to do, I think, is just to look around and rejoice. That's what Paul does. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord. That we are partners together in this great work. We're partners with others beyond our borders in this work. And God willing, we're about to spawn another partner locally in this work. A people who give and want to give, whose account is being credited by God, who are pleasing to him and rejoice greatly in the Lord.